Good morning to you and to everybody. Hello and happy fifth Sunday of Lent. Today we can focus on one of the lessons of the Mass. That every Mass on Sunday there are three readings. The first reading, the second reading, and the Gospel reading. I was thinking of focusing on the second reading, taken from the letter to the Hebrews. They used to say that St. Paul wrote this too, but it has been established that it was a different author. In any case, this letter of to the Hebrews forms part of the sacred canon, the canon of scriptures. This makes the list as inspired by God. That means that the author, the principal author, is the Holy Spirit using an instrumental cause who is and who was the writer of this letter. We just don't know who was the author. In any case, what we read today, well, its significance perhaps is not well known. It talks to us about obedience, the obedience of Christ, the obedience of the Son of Man, who had obeyed his Father to become flesh, to become man, to be born of the Virgin Mary, and to grow up in the environment, in the context of a Jewish family with a Jewish culture. He obeyed. A very different kind of obedience from the disobedience of Lucifer. You know that the angels, when they were created, they were subjected to a test. All of them. We don't know exactly the number of angels God had created. What is certain is that they were very many. And they were subjected to a test. A test so that God could see whether they were freely going to serve him, whether they were going to be messengers, to act as messengers of God. That's what the word angel means. We do not know the content of this exam, so to speak, but what we know is that some failed and some passed. The ones who passed the test, they said, "Serviam, I will serve." And they referred to God. While the other angels said, "I will not serve." They would not serve God. And so they became devils. And they had to be thrown out of heaven. That was how hell began to exist. When there was a human freedom, or rather a created freedom, who opts against God. So obviously these angels could not and cannot be together with those who serve the living God. That's why hell started to exist. Those who remained with God, we call them angels. They remained in heaven because heaven is where God is. So they enjoy God all the time. So, you know, by obedience we find out who is the real servant of God, and who is not a servant of God. Who is a follower of God, and who is not a follower of God, by their obedience. So let's read this. During his life on earth, Christ offered up prayer and entreaty, aloud and silent tears, to the one who had the power to save him out of death. And he submitted so humbly that his prayer was heard. Let's unpack this first sentence. And I think there are only two sentences in this reading. So this first sentence consists of a context. And that's this first clause that describes the context. The context is, his life on earth. So God became man. And what we are talking about here is his life on earth. You know, growing up with Mary and Joseph, learning a profession. Usually sons learn from their dads, and Saint Joseph duly trained his son. And, you know, the family life, he had to learn the culture, he had to learn the scriptures, because he was fully human. And at that stage, from infancy to childhood, well, just like any child, he would have to learn. He had a human intellect, aside from his divine intellect. The divine intellect knew everything, knows everything. There is nothing it cannot know, because that intellect is divine. But Jesus had also another intellect, because he, who is God, assumed human nature. So he took up human nature and all that it has, what it has, its powers, the intellect, a human intellect, a human will, human emotions, and so forth. His humanity, however, was pure. No original sin. So that's why Jesus also could be called the Immaculate Conception, because no original sin, no evil ever touched his soul, his human soul, like Mary's, right? So having been living in this life on earth, Christ, so this is about Jesus, offered a prayer and entreaty, aloud and in silent tears. He was in great anxiety. So this description is about Jesus during the agony in the garden. And it's interesting to find out, revealed by God, by the Holy Spirit, that, well, Jesus, while praying in the garden of Gethsemane, he had asked his apostles also to accompany him to pray and not so that they would not fall into temptation, but they slept, right? And Jesus checked on them three times. On the third time, they were still sleeping, and he encouraged them to stand up, to wake up, to gather up, because his captors were at hand. And the description is that Jesus, while he was praying, he prayed, entreated. He was asking, he was begging. And he was begging with a loud voice, in tears. Can you imagine that? God, who is Jesus, in tears, praying so insistently, with a lot of emotion. He shouted, you know, he was speaking aloud. He was directing himself to the one, his Father, God the Father, the one who had the power to save him out of death. So Jesus was praying because he was about to die. He was going to die the next day. This was Holy Thursday. The following day was Good Friday, and that was when he died. He was crucified, condemned to death, and he died on the cross. You know, the imminence of death, well, it could make somebody nervous. It could scare somebody, especially in the way Jesus was going to die. You just try looking or checking out the leather thongs. I think there were normally three thongs made of leather, attached to which, to each of them, of these thongs, broken bone, metallic parts, you know, like nails, and hooks, and that was used for the scourging in the pillar. It was not just a simple leather whip. I remember being whipped by my mom with a horse whip. Wow, that was a very strong material. I mean, horses have thicker skin than human beings, so they have to have something. But I don't know, my mom bought a whip for the horses, no, in these calesas, no, in this this old way of being transported in the streets of Manila, of Cebu. In Cebu, we call them tartanilla. And I used to ride this along Sikatuna Street, going to the cathedral, going home, going to the market, and back home. And the driver would whip the horse to go faster, and forward, and faster. Well, it was used on me, but painful indeed, but that was nothing. I mean, you look at this, inspect or examine this small objects that would lacerate, no? You know, embed itself into the flesh, and then when the one who is scourging pulls the whip back, it would lacerate the flesh. Gosh, he says, wow. So Jesus had that in mind, and he was pleading to God aloud and in tears to the one who had the power to save him out of death, and he submitted so humbly that his prayer was heard. His prayer was heard. God always hears our prayer. There's no such thing as he does not hear our prayer, because he is God. He knows everything. So he hears everything. He's not like a daredevil, not a daredevil who was very keen, because he was somewhat blind. He had to develop his hearing so sensitive, he could pick up these conversations throughout the city. Something like Bionic Woman, if you have watched this series, TV series in the 70s, 1970s. Which I used to watch so often and enjoy it, the superpower, this bionic ear. God hears everything, and he answers each of those prayers. You may not like what he says, but he answers. Whether it is wait, not now, or he answers with a different, unexpected answer or gift. But he listens to us, and we are heard, and he answers all the time. And Jesus submitted himself to that punishment. This is obedience. Something he did not like to do, he was trying to avoid, because he was asking that he be saved from it, to save him from death. But he submitted so humbly. This is what is important. To be able to obey, we have to be humble. And Jesus was humble. So we, human beings who have been affected by original sin and our own personal sins, basically all our sins is about disobedience. We disobey the law of God, the wishes and will of God. Well, because we are not humble, we have certain pride, just like those angels who were condemned to hell. I will not serve. I don't want to. I don't want to be having a hard time. I don't want to have I want a shortcut. I want to make money faster, so I will cheat, etc. So there's always something about ourselves. Certainly, it's pride, selfishness. Although, in the second sentence goes, although he was Son, with a capital S, he learned to obey through suffering. And this is how to obey. We have to be willing to suffer. You know, suffer meaning we don't get something that that we're supposed to get. I mean, we like pleasure, we like comfort, we like sweet. So we suffer when we get something bitter. You know, instead of pork, I am made to eat the liver of the pig. Well, it tastes very different. So I resisted it, but my mom said, "Will you eat everything that is on the table? Because if it's not there, what can we do?" So I had to learn to eat this liver, and I learned to love it. And because of obedience. And Jesus obeyed, and that's how he saved us. And we should get the connection. We also will be able to be saved if we learn to obey, to be willing to suffer an inconvenience, you know, and a suffering even. But having been made perfect, about Jesus, this is the last clause, But having been made perfect, he became, for all who obey him, the source of eternal salvation. That's why we have been saved. We were condemned, by the way, because of disobedience. Adam and Eve disobeyed. So let's follow our Lord. Let's learn to obey. Thank you for listening, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain forever. Amen. Ciao!